This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. And now, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got an action-packed hour for you this Wednesday. Bob Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Well, you need a better weatherman than we've got to figure out the temperature. Big adjustment in the Kansas City expectation. And boy, that affects the handicap in a big, big way. We'll be going over that. Also, Jalen Hurts. A lot of chatting about him. We got some odds on him. Bottom of the hour, the first Vegas handicap on these upcoming games. We're going to dig deeper than we have at any time during the week. We got the right guy, NFL expert Steve Fezzik in studio. Also, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start here on Straight Out of Vegas with the big games in the NFL this coming weekend, most notably the AFC Championship between the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Just yesterday, we spent virtually an entire show talking about the effects of something called an Arctic blast at Arrowhead Stadium. And now, earlier today, it was reported that the weather has improved so much so that we are now looking at temperatures in between 20 and 22 degrees at kickoff on Sunday. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on the weather move?
Well, first off, Joe, I'm not sure why you had to emphasize we spent so much time on it.
We did a deep dive.
You could have said we touched on it, but some of it's still pertinent.
It is.
Well, not really. Fez, Jonas did a good job of recounting what we thought yesterday, what we think now, at least projection-wise for the weather, forecast-wise. Let's assume the forecasts are right. And again, obviously, there's a chance they might not be. How does this affect? Because a lot of people might say 5 degrees is cold, 20 degrees is cold. You disagree?
Yeah, the difference between 20 and 5 degrees is really, really significant. You'll uncover the data for that. It's still going to compromise the offenses at 20.
Yeah, so let's talk about the data we uncovered. So it was making the rounds yesterday. And listen, on Twitter, you got to be careful, right? And it was like, hey, people overreact to weather. So let's use a good example. If someone, let's say you could run an 8-minute mile. Fez, I don't think you could, but I didn't think you could bench 200 pounds. So who knows? What would be your over-under for a mile that you'd be willing to bet?
9:30.
Oh, well, I think you could walk fast and do 9:30. It'd be like a power walking. Like, all right. So imagine if I said, okay, let's say you could run an 8-minute mile. I'm going to put 1 ounce weights in my shoes. And what do you think? How long do you think it would take me to run a mile then? Someone might say 10 and a half minutes. It's like, well, wait a minute. That'd be an overreaction to a clear negative, meaning the 1 ounces in each shoe would slow you down. I don't know if it'd be 5 seconds or 7 seconds, but it would slow you down. But it's possible that directionally something can be a negative, but the market price overreacts to it. So what we have seen historically is whenever it gets below 32, everyone says, and because everyone loves handicapping data that's objective. Like, there's so much we're just grasping for facts and rationale and things that make sense. But when you get something as clean as, boy, it's going to be cold, it's going to be tough to catch that ball. I remember sometimes I go out when it's cold and I have trouble opening up my car. You know, that everyone can kind of relate to that. And what happens is there's an overreaction. If you look at the NFL games since 2000, so almost 20 years, and the temperature is from 20 to 32, so freezing, below freezing to 20, more overs than unders. But that doesn't mean that the weather, the cold weather helps scoring, it means the adjustment down is too much. Then if you look at from 10 degrees to 19 degrees, now that's the teens, baby, that is cold. The overs are almost 60%. People look and say, man, it's super cold. I'm going under. Well, it goes over 60%. But what we uncovered, what Twitter didn't pick up on, was when it's 9 degrees, single digits, and down into the negatives, it was 2 overs, 9 under. Small sample size, but boy, 2 to 9 is pretty extreme. So it's one of those situations where it doesn't really affect you all that much, doesn't? And then it's like, wow, it's so cold, you're having trouble breathing. When we thought Kansas City at home was going to be in that spot against the Pats, we thought under. The market was going that way. Under was what they were betting. Now we're back up to the, hey, it's cold. A lot of people might say, oh, what's the difference? But the data says this kind of cold gets overreacted to. So Fez, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Fez, let me ask you this question. We're talking about the Pats and Kansas City, the weather effects. How has the market reacted to this new forecast?
Yeah, so the market was at 54.5 right before I went to sleep last night.
So just to be clear, over, under, total points, 54.5.
Yes, and it had been dropping all week long. I went to sleep happy, figuring I'd wake up in the morning and that total would drop even more. Boom, I get up at 7 a.m., RJ. What's this? Money on the over? The over's up to 55, and now it's currently 55.5. What happened? The forecast changed.
Okay, so this brings up a great point and probably one of my most asked questions. How can you bet so early when, because we're always preaching, bet as early as you can. Because the theory is the biggest bettors in the world, the $100,000 a game guys, the syndicates, usually don't bet till later in the week in the NFL. Sometimes they don't bet till game day because they want to get the monster bets in. There's syndicates that get $1 million on an NFL game. You can't get $1 million on Monday, right? Before, 6 days before. But if you're betting $100 or $200 or even $500, which is a lot of money a game, you can bet on Monday no problem. So why not bet before the $1 million guys shape up the line, tell you where the problems are? But here's the paradox. There's a lot of things you don't know. That center may or may not be able to play on his sore knee. Or the weather may or may not be what the current forecast 6 days ahead or 4 days ahead is. And my answer is always the same. You have the same chance to get the benefit of what happens during the interim time of your early bet in the game. Half the time you'll be benefiting from it. The center will play. And, oh, by the way, that's your team. Line goes up a half a point because he's playing. But you got the early line. Half the time he doesn't play. It goes down. But in the long run, it evens out. And what ends up happening is you still get that better number. You get that untouched number from the biggest batters. Here's a situation, Fez, right here on Straight Outta Vegas. End of yesterday's show. You said, we're taking a chance. We're betting the under because I keep expecting this going down. Now, here's the question. If people followed you, they got their bet in. Let's assume a lot of people did because your record this year has been outstanding on these early picks. What do you do now?
You stay pat with your bet because I have good news for everyone who followed. There are other reasons that I like the under in this game, not just the weather.
Okay, so even though you have a worse number right now, and in theory, they could buy back, you know, eat the VIG, hope they don't get middled, you're saying you still like the under, even at the old number, because of other reasons.
Correct.
And what was the number you gave yesterday?
Under 55.
And right now it's 55.5.
Correct.
So let's talk about, though, just practically for a second, the danger if you would go now. Let's say you bet $100 on under 55.5, you said?
Yes.
Or 55?
Under 55.
Okay. Under 55 for 100, 110 wins you 100. Now you'd have to go over, 55 and a half.
Yes. So 55 is the death number.
If it hits 55, you get sided, right? S-I-D-E-D, sided in that case. And you're eating the VIG regardless. You're $10.
So you're hoping to lose $10. That's the good case scenario.
RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. What to do with the weather forecast changes in the Pats game. Now, your belief, Fez, is even though it's not quite as cold, you use the word it's going to compromise facets of the game. Break that down.
Yeah, and I think the number one aspect of it, I'm concerned about Mahomes' performance in the cold weather. Went ahead and looked up how he did historically when the temperature drops below 30 degrees. You asked me to do that research for you, RJ. I've got it for you. Turns out Mahomes has played 3 games in the NFL when the temperature's below 30, like it's going to be on Sunday. Those 3 games, he had an average QBR of 62. 50 is average, so he's played well. However,
now, just to be clear, did you get that QBR by adding up the 3 and dividing by 3?
No, they actually were remarkably consistent. 62, 62, 63 in these 3 games.
So let me do the math here. 162, 162, 163. I think it's a little over 62.
So it's 62.3.
So you did just divide it.
I did.
All right, because just to be clear, based on how many throws each, if you had it blended where they actually did the QBR over the 3 games, if you threw more in one game, it would be weighted more. And again, not that that matters, but I think it's important if we're talking stats that we teach the listeners at least be explicit about when we're estimating versus when we did the right calculation. But you're right. It's obviously going to be right in that range. So what does that tell us?
So that tells us, if we look at his season-long QBR, which is 82 on average, that he has performed much worse in games below 30 degrees. And in fact, RJ,
and 3-game sample isn't so small.
And the good news is his 4th worst game was the one game that was between 30 and 40 degrees.
So you're saying his 4 worst games were the 4 coldest games?
Correct.
Wow. Wow. Oh, so literally those 66s or 63s and all that, that was his 3 worst.
Yes. He's had 18 starts in his career. He's had 5 games where his QBR was below 70. And it turns out the 4 lowest games were in the lowest temperature games.
I got to tell you, that's a stat. Let's just say it one more time. We've got 18 starts when it comes to the Kansas City quarterback Mahomes. His 4 worst QBRs was the 4 coldest games that he played.
Correct.
Well, that puts a nice bow on this first segment. When we come back, we're going to keep talking NFL, especially you believe Brady, and we've heard the stats, but we've got more analysis on it. The cold does not affect Tom Brady in a bad way.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, some statistics that may be an issue for one of these quarterbacks in the NFL playoffs.
We have fun each weekday bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now in the Strip, yes, I had to wear a jacket into the studio. 60 degrees in January. The neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we've been talking a lot about the weather and the effect the weather may have on the Patriots and Chiefs game this Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Right now on pregame.com, Kansas City is a 3-point favorite over the Patriots. But what is the Vegas perspective on New England and Tom Brady on the road?
Well, I think there's road concerns, and I think there's concerns about Brady when it comes to post Josh Gordon, without Josh Gordon. So, Fez, let's start there with Gordon. And then we'll get to the road. You had a pretty amazing stat you and Brad uncovered, which is the average yards per attempt passing the ball. It's a very important stat because what we've seen is we saw it with Driscoll for the Bengals. We've seen it with a lot of less than elite quarterbacks, which is a lot of dump off passes, long handoffs in a way. So, yeah, they're completing 65% of their passes, but they're not getting hardly any points because they're not getting enough yards per pass. An attempt allows you yards per attempt to give credit to the guys that go way downfield because, hey, 140 yarder can make a big, big difference. Very important stat, yards per attempt. The average in the NFL for quarterbacks this year, 6.8 yards per attempt. Every time they throw the ball, gain an average of 6.8 yards across the NFL. Tom Brady, when Josh Gordon was on the field, had a 7.6 yards per attempt. So that's almost a yard better than the league average. When Tom Brady didn't have Josh Gordon on the field, 5.6 yards per attempt. That's over a yard worse than the average. We're talking about the greatest quarterback by many accounts, one of the greatest beyond debate in the history of the NFL, is over a yard worse per attempt this season than the average quarterback in the NFL. And oh, by the way, Brad uncovered this nugget. That 5.6 yards would be the worst of any of the starting quarterbacks. Imagine seeing a stat and someone says, yes, this yards per attempt is so, so telling about how good a quarterback is. And imagine you're looking at the list. You got the nice white sheet of paper, the black ink, and you're seeing Mahomes, and you're seeing all these names. And then finally, the last name, nothing below it, maybe a few smudge marks. It says Tom Brady, 5.6 yards, the worst, number 32 in the NFL. That is the reality of Tom Brady this season when Josh Gordon isn't on the field. Oh, by the way, Josh Gordon's not going to be on the field come Sunday. Fez, how big a deal is this?
Oh, huge deal. And think about it. It's not just that Josh Gordon is catching 25-yard passes. He's the burner. He's the threat.
He was.
Was the threat going down the field. So even if you're not throwing it to Josh Gordon, now when you're dinking and dunking to James White, when you're throwing that horizontal passing game to Edelman, there's fewer guys. The safeties are further back, and you're going to be picking up, on average, more yards per pass with that threat downfield.
But these Pats fans are going to rightfully say that the Pats won by double digits week 16 at home, won by double digits week 17, and won by double digits against a Chargers team. If I'm not mistaken, it wasn't that long ago you had ranked as the second best team in the NFL. First off, am I correct on that?
They never made number two.
Am I correct?
You're incorrect.
What were they?
They were fourth.
Brad, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it does.
I remember the Chargers were right there. You were like, they're as good as anyone but the Saints.
They were almost as good.
Ah, so an elite team.
Yes.
So double-digit win, Pats, no Gordon. Double-digit win, Pats, no Gordon. Double-digit win, Pats, no Gordon. Explain.
Well, they got to play the Bills week 16 and the Jets week 17, and those teams were basically playing out the string, and they just handed the ball off to Sony Michel and grounded him.
So did you have gigantic bets on the Patriots?
No, because I hate laying double digits.
So not so obvious that they were going to win easily.
Well, obviously they were going to win easily because they were favored to win easily.
I mean, win easily as in double digits.
Yes.
All right. So I think Fez really, I think accidentally framed that properly. And here's what I would say. If you believe that the Pats, and this is the negative Pats perspective, negative on Brady and the Patriots. Hey, listen, at home against the Jets, that's easy enough. At home against the Bills, that's easy enough, especially late in the year, nothing to play for, really, for those teams. You could debate, division opponent, they're trying to play. But we're going anti-Pats here. And then, hey, Pats played well, but they had 2 weeks. Everyone plays well off the bye in these spots, and they have recently, I think, almost everybody. And, oh, by the way, the Chargers had such a negative situational circumstance. Third straight road game, all the travel, 10,000 miles. We talked about it nonstop. I said, and I believe, one of the biggest situational disadvantages I had ever seen in the NFL was the Chargers against the Pats. So double-digit favorite against a nobody, double-digit favorite against a nobody, both at home, easy wins, and then against a team with a historic some would say historical disadvantage. And the Pats won. Of course they did. Where do you now? The other hand, someone could say, hey, look, win, win, win. Everyone in the NFL really, really matters. Oh, by the way, the Pats were only favored by 4 against the Chargers. If it was so easy, why didn't you double your net worth? I think there's 2 angles here. Which side do you fall more on, Fez?
Oh, I think it's based upon New England's overvalued based upon having a great situational setup against the Chargers and the Week 16 and 17 game.
So you believe the status says Tom Brady, yards per attempt when Josh Gordon wasn't on the field, would be the worst in the NFL this season. If that was his entire season, you believe that negativity, you're more on that side about the Pats.
I think that's the true story.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping the weather change. We did that, and that's amazing. It bears repeating. Mahomes, 18 games in the NFL, his 4 worst games by QBR were his 4 coldest games. That is not a, talk about a correlation. 1, 2, 3, and 4, the 4 coldest, the 4 worst. Now we're talking about, well, Brady, what's his reality? Fez, pessimistic, and the numbers say he's right when Josh Gordon hasn't been on the field. Last factor in the Pats-Kansas City game, New England's road concerns. New England has won 16 straight games at home straight up. On the road, a quite frankly, for them, a historically bad season on the road.
Yeah, New England, I can make the case, has been a Joe Q average team on the road this year. 3-5 straight up, 3-5 against the spread. RJ, they've been outscored on average by 2.5 points per game. So almost 3 points per game. That's what home field is worth. That's what an average team would do. And look at this performance there.
So you're saying not just an average team, meaning when they're on the road with that inherent disadvantage that they're average. You're saying they're average as a road team, meaning half the road teams are better than them and half the road teams are worse than them, the Pats.
Yes, and this is despite playing an easy schedule. They only played 1 playoff team on the road all year long.
Wow. So what their other road losses, Lions, Tennessee, jumps out at me. What else we got?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we can count them as a playoff caliber.
I think that is absolutely fair. Wow, so what a recap. So what we figured out here, and this is like it's almost like one of those mystery movies. You got to keep adding the clues, right? It was supposed to be really cold, and we thought, wow, that's going to affect things. Now in Kansas City, not as cold, 20s, but even in the 20s, Mahomes has struggled. Brady looks good recently, but boy, oh boy, without Gordon in competitive spots at the bottom of the league, yards per attempt. And then finally, Kansas City, a horrible defense. And we'll get into some of these numbers tomorrow. A horrible defense generally, but a much, much better defense at home for the Chiefs. And the Pats, a average, like shouldn't have made the playoffs road team. Boy, it seems like we're leaning KC, but we're going to have our picks in the next day or two.
Guys, we've also got the Rams and the Saints here. We've got L.A. at New Orleans on pregame.com. New Orleans is currently a 3.5-point favorite. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on Jared Goff entering his first ever career playoff road start?
Yeah, that's fascinating, Fez. We had the numbers last week that inexperienced quarterbacks struggle. Now, Mahomes went against those numbers. But now Goff, this is his third start in the playoffs, but his first road start. How big of a factor is that to you?
I think it's a big factor. A virgin road start, that can't be good, especially considering virgin quarterbacks do so poorly.
Well, I visited West Liberty College when I was like 16, and it was a virgin road game, and I lost. I didn't win that one. So, you know, who knows? Now, Goff, if you split up his splits, and in fact, you know, I'd like to get those exact numbers. So let's get the news update. And in just 1 minute, we're going to actually give you the quarterback stats for Goff this year when he was home and when he was on the road. Big, big difference.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
Lakers forward LeBron James is going to miss the team's next 2 games because of his strained groin that's kept him out since Christmas Day when he injured it against the Golden State Warriors. So no LeBron tomorrow night in Oklahoma City, no LeBron Saturday night in Houston. The Lakers do say LeBron is expected to resume practice next week. Lakers have a showdown with Golden State at Staples Center coming up on Monday. Some news from the NFL as former Seahawks offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell has been tabbed as the new offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. John DeFilippo is the new offensive coordinator from Fort Jacksonville, coming over from the Vikings where he was dismissed later on in the season. And Nathaniel Hackett, the one-time offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, officially named the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. An L.A. County judge has ruled that former NFL offensive lineman Jonathan Martin must stand trial on three felony charges stemming from threats made on social media towards former teammates and his former high school as he made those threats last February. Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts announced he'll transfer to Oklahoma. He'll be eligible to play immediately because he's a graduate transfer. And finally, Tiger Woods is committed to play at next week's Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. It'll be Tiger's first event of 2019. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Well, Jonas, got some news today. Is we've been talking about it, Straight out of Vegas, getting sent down to the Super Bowl. Fox has the featured space on Radio Row. A lot of people would be uncomfortable, right? So what I'm hearing is we've got about 500 square feet. We're going to be up about 20 feet above everyone else. And a lot of people might think, man, that's going to feel uncomfortable. All the big TVs, pictures, logos, Fox Sports Radio. It feels right to me looking down on everyone. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have gone otherwise, but a lot of people would be uncomfortable. I just want to be honest. I'm not. But you're coming on Wednesday, and have you been to the Super Bowl before?
I've been one time before. It's a lot of fun. And look, the only thing missing from the Fox setup is velvet ropes and people looking at IDs as to whether or not you can get in. We have the premier setup every single year, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, did the boss man, Scott, tell you you got to get the Straight out of Vegas tattoo?
I've already got two bad tattoos. I don't know that I want to keep another one that would just... unless I could cover up one of these that I wouldn't mind. I can be honest with you about that.
All right, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this. But I tell you guys, it is going to be exciting for our listeners because obviously we're going to be breaking the game down Vegas style. But I love getting on experts that aren't necessarily Vegas-based, but picking their brain. Because remember about the Super Bowl. Prop bet Fez... you may or may not bet the side on the Super Bowl. You may or may not bet the total. But what's the over-under average, let's say, the last 5 years of prop bets you make on the Super Bowl?
26 and a half.
You think, no, you think he's joking. He's being serious. This guy has a mansion and a yacht, and a nice chunk of that is driven by his Super Bowl prop betting. I mean, in my opinion, the best in the business.
I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
And props are the driver of that, one of them. So what I think we should commit to, let's do it, Fez. Super Bowl week, we give a prop of the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So five props, one each day, that you're going to be betting, taking off the rubber band with your own money. Agree or disagree? Just, hey. There's only 200 stations listening, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, if you want to say no, I don't know. It's going to work.
Well, I think we should give out at least one a day.
Oh, listen to him. If I said two, he would fight tooth and nail. But one a day it is.
Guys, we've been talking about the NFC Championship game, the Rams and the Saints, and Jared Goff heading into his first career playoff start on the road. RJ, is there any concern in Vegas over Jared Goff this coming Sunday against New Orleans?
Only if you bet the Rams. So if you look at these numbers, it's an eye popper. I hate numbers on the radio, but Vegas is numbers based. We'll try to keep this simple. This is quarterback rating, not QBR. So passer rating, I think, is what it usually goes by. And here's the thing. Goff at home, let's just use round numbers. 116. That's outstanding. The NFL average is 95. So over 20 points better than the NFL average when Goff is at home. When Goff is on the road, it's 83. So over 12 points worse. So think about this. Goff is on the road. The quarterback he's proven to be this year is significantly below average in the situation he's in. So if you're thinking about the four best coaches in the NFL, and I think some people believe it's the four here. I think Zimmer's on the list myself, ahead of, in my opinion, McVay. I don't think he's proven himself yet fully, but four of the six or seven best coaches for sure. And then you look at quarterbacks, Brady, all time, still top four in the league, no doubt about it. And then you look at Mahomes, this year's MVP. You look at Drew Brees, sure Hall of Famer, top five this year for sure. And now Jared Goff, who is clearly, unequivocally below average on the road. Doesn't mean he can't have a monster game, but history tells us Goff on the road, weakness, especially compared to this competition.
Yeah, and let's look at Jared Goff not only on the road, RJ, but last three games against playoff teams, zero touchdowns, five interceptions. Against better competition, he's been very subpar.
And since October 1st, number of 50-yard completions by Goff in that high-powered Rams offense, RJ, zero pass plays of over 50 yards.
How many games?
Since October 1st.
Yeah, 50 is a long play, but October 1st, so you're saying other than the first month of the season?
Yes.
So what you're saying, I mean, I just killed Goff. Brad jumps in waving his hand. Let me get a punch in. This is like, what was that called in the movie, the Code Red or whatever, right? They code redded Jared Goff.
Guys, as we head into this weekend's games, we've got the Patriots, we've got the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Rams. What has stuck out to Vegas that could be considered deceiving from last week's performance?
Well, we can handle the truth. We know that much. Let's talk Rams. To me, this is simple. The Ringer, let's give credit where credit's due. Bill Simmons' website, they had an article about the Rams figured out something about the Cowboys' defensive line. And you have a C.J. Anderson running, looks like he should be maybe franchise tag. Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Anderson, who knows? We know that's not true. But boy, oh boy, if you look at the Rams and the way they ran the ball and then you read about the Cowboys, you got to wonder, Fez, how much do we downgrade that Rams performance because of that, the giveaways, the tips that the D-line for the Cowboys was giving the Rams?
Yeah, I do think you have to downgrade it. Let's face it, RJ. How often do you see two running backs run for 100 yards each against a good rush defense? There has to be an external factor that was going on.
So looking at the potential deceiving results from last weekend, because let's be honest, everyone watches the playoff games. So if something's deceiving, we got to understand it to price it. Saints, a lot of talk about Saints offense not near as good on the other as it was earlier in the year. On the other hand, Saints at home were still consistently mighty good, and then they only put up 20 against the Eagles. So now the only game that kind of broke up the list of low-scoring games was that Steelers 31 the Saints put up. Otherwise, if you look back, the Saints haven't scored over 30, I think like once in the last six games. Now, a lot of those were road games. One of them didn't have Breeze. So how do we balance it? Do we still trust the Saints' offense is top five in the league at home? Or do we really downgrade the Saints because putting up only 20 against the Eagles?
I downgraded the Saints because I downgraded Drew Brees. Happy birthday to him, by the way. Just turned 40 a couple of days ago, but bottom line, he's not able to throw the ball deep down the field anymore.
I'm sure he'll be happy you gave him a happy birthday. Straight out of Vegas, RJ Bell. Last thing, we talked about the Pats. We know we got to question that dominating performance because it was such a bad situational spot. Do we question Kansas City? That feels like the cleanest performance. You love the Colts, Fez. We were surprised. But in hindsight, do we look at the fact that the Colts were tired? We didn't think they, you hoped they weren't, or do you really give KC a ton of credit for that dominating performance?
I give KC credit for it, but
you can tell it's painful because he had the other
lost
side.
A lot of money. But the Colts dome team that did struggle in the elements.
But you never mentioned the dome team.
Yeah, I probably should have.
So I think it's fair to say of all the dominating performances last week, Kansas City's is the cleanest.
Agree.
When we come back, picks, and more picks, including the key games going tonight.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
RJ Bell, we are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Guys, we have NBA action a little over an hour from now. Tip-off on ESPN. It is the Raptors at the Celtics right now on pregame.com. Boston is a three-point favorite.
And Faz, every night right here at 6:50 or so Eastern, we look at the biggest TV games. We don't like them all the time because you can't like them all. Lean or like in this one?
I pass this game, but there's a common...
So not even a lean.
Not even a lean, but there's a common...
Now, come on a second. You're telling me the line's not even a half a point off.
It is not, but I'm going to give you a little wise guy secret here, RJ, that applies to both these games.
I'm skeptical.
Pros hate betting teams that are coming home from road trips. That first home game, distractions of life, you get back, and they just oftentimes don't put their best foot forward. Boston, three straight road games. Now they're coming home. So even though my power ratings would say bet Boston, I pass this game.
Now, that's fascinating. If you just said quality of the teams compared to the line, you lean Boston. But there is that factor, and I agree with it. There's the mail you've got to get. You've got to check in with the mistress. I mean, in some cases. I mean, a lot of complications coming back from that long road trip. And it gets priced like, hey, it's a home game, but it's the least advantageous home game. Now, when the trip's longer than three games, I think it's more meaningful.
Agreed.
Guys, after the Raptors and Celtics, it's the Pelicans and the Warriors at 10:30 Eastern time. Right now, Golden State on pregame.com is a seven-point favorite at home.
So is the line perfect here?
The line is perfect. It sure looks cheap, right? Golden State.
Are you serious? You don't even have a lean on this game?
I pass. Golden State looks so cheap, RJ, minus seven. How can we not bet Golden State? Well, they're returning home. It's their third game in four nights. And RJ, they just had to play in Denver in the altitude last night.
So you're saying that, now let's talk about that for a moment. Playing in Denver at the altitude is fatiguing.
Yes.
And how long does that tend to linger? So night, if it's back-to-back with that, it's obviously meaningful. If there were one day off, would it be meaningful?
I still think it would be meaningful, but not as meaningful.
All right. So you're saying, what would you expect? What do your power ratings say the line should be on this?
Well, if Golden State's 7 points better, give them 3.5 for home field, it would be 10.5. Take away 1.5 for having to play back-to-back, and it still looks like a bargain on Golden State. I would have made the game purely for
and
my math.
And the current
math.
Line
nine,
is?
Seven.
All right. But you're saying the fact that it was in Denver is worth that many points?
And the first game back from a road trip. I tell you, I've tried to make money with my power ratings, betting these teams coming home, RJ. I just have been unsuccessful.
So what you're saying is these factors, a lot of people listening have never thought about, oh, this NBA team's not as good because they played Denver last night. You're saying a factor like that is worth a point, 1.5, 2 points.
Yes.
So, like, what is more valuable, Van Vliet from Toronto, the famed guy that doesn't even start that you think is super valuable, or playing in Denver the night before? How would you balance those?
Playing things? In Denver is more important, especially because
Van Vliet.
He's banged up. He's not 100%.
But 100% Van Vliet was more important.
No, the Denver would still be more
important. Well, then listen, if anyone wonders how important Denver is, more important than Van Vliet.
Guys, we look ahead to the NFC Championship game this Sunday between the Rams and the Saints, and we've got a prop bet from one Steve Fezzik.
All right, so is the prop perfectly lined here, or you have an opinion?
I have a very, very strong opinion.
Oh, right, fine. Go ahead.
All right, C.J. Anderson, I just bet this over 37.5 rush yards. I think it's good all the way up to over 42 rush yards. Last week, C.J. Anderson, 23 carries, Gurley only got 16. What's going on? Well, McVay is concerned about Gurley's durability. Gurley looks healthy.
Is it concerned about his durability or concerned he's not 100%?
He looked 100%.
So that's fascinating. You're saying if you would have just looked at the plays he ran the ball, Gurley, and you didn't know he was hurt or had been hurt, you would have said 100%.
Exactly right. But I think he's one hit away from maybe going out of the game, and that's why C.J. Anderson got more than half the carries. If he gets just half the carries in this game, he should sail over 37.5 rushing.
Now, is this line available right now?
I just bet it, yes.
Okay, so it's over 37.5 rushing yards, C.J. Anderson, and you'll bet it up to how many yards?
42, over 42.
And this is like a best bet for you, taking off the rubber band.
Yes.
Guys, some news out of college football, where former Alabama quarterback and national champion Jalen Hurts announced he is transferring to Oklahoma via the Players Tribune earlier today. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on Hurts' transfer?
Well, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, 30 seconds.
First off, bit of a surprise, Oklahoma getting Jalen Hurts here. And a sports book, Bovada put it out as far as the odds. Where is Jalen Hurts going to go? Oklahoma wasn't even in the top five. They were 14-1 to get Jalen Hurts. So a bit of a surprise. What's it all mean for Oklahoma in the end game? National title odds haven't really changed today, RJ. Oklahoma still 16-1.
So what we're saying is it's a news story. It's interesting, a good sign about Oklahoma's ability to be attractive, but this is a quarterback that literally didn't start this year for a reason, but a mighty good backup.
Yes.
And worst case, if he's your quarterback, it ain't so bad.
It's not as bad.
The Odd Couple is next here. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!